நீங்கள் SPS தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள். sps.com.au/tamil எனும் இணையத்தின் மூலம் மேலும் பல சிறப்பான நிகழ்ச்சிகளை நீங்கள் கேட்கலாம். இந்தியாவின் கர்நாடகா மாநிலத்தின் முன்னாள் காவல்துறை உயர் அதிகாரி இன்ஸ்பெக்டர் ஜெனரல் ஆஃப் போலீஸ் கே ஆர்கேஷ் அவர்கள் மிகவும் கடினமான சவாலான பகுதிகளில் 30 ஆண்டுகளுக்கு மேலாக சேவை செய்தவர். வடகிழக்கு மாநிலங்கள் மற்றும் காஷ்மீர் கிளர்ச்சி ஒழிப்பு நடவடிக்கைகளுக்கு தலைமையேற்று செயல்பட்டவர். சந்தன கடத்தல் வீரப்பனை தேடும் நடவடிக்கையில் முக்கிய பங்காற்றியவர். அவர் ஒரு கல்வியாளரும் கூட. மனிதவியல் ஆந்திரபாலஜி துறையில் முதுகலை பட்டமும் நாட்டுப்புறவியல் ஃபோக்லோர் துறையில் முதுநிலை பட்டமும் பெற்றவர். மெல்பர்னில் நடைபெற்ற 4th இன்டர்நேஷனல் ஹியூமனிஸ்ட் கான்பரன்ஸில் கலந்து கொண்ட அவரை SPS ஒலிப்பதிவு கூடத்தில் வைத்து சந்தித்து உரையாடுகிறார் ரைசல். Today on our program, we are joined by a remarkable guest, Mr. K. Arkesh, former Inspector General of Police, who served for more than 3 decades in some of India's most difficult and challenging regions. From leading counter-insurgency operations in the Northeast and Kashmir to playing a key role in the hunt for Veerappan, Mr. Arkesh has worked at the crossroads of state power, law enforcement and human rights. He is also a scholar with a master's degree in anthropology and a postgraduate diploma in folklore. His deep understanding of people and culture adds great insights into discussion on justice, ethics and public service. Today we'll talk not only about the highlights of his distinguished career but also about the complex questions of policing, human rights, social justice and democracy. Welcome to the program, Mr. Arkesh.
Thank you.
What inspired you to join the police force and how did your career progress to the level of becoming an Inspector General of Police?
I hail from a remote village. I always resisted injustice and I thought by being in a position where such injustice can be undone, that was my motive of joining police.
How you progressed?
My brother somehow got educated and he got a job. He brought me out of the village and gave me an exposure to the urban education. And there, in the initial stages, it was extremely difficult. Subsequently, I excelled. I got a gold medal in BA and MA. And wherever I went, I made a dent.
Generally, people reach the highest level in their career. They come from very affluent family or a highly educated family. Their background is quite different. Tell us something about your background, your parents. Now, how was it difficult or challenging for someone coming from the rural to this level?
People coming from such deprived sections whose parents are not educated, who are not English educated or you do not have the urban background and background of technology, such people have to exert more and they have to put in more efforts and they should have more strength in terms of intelligence, hard work and availing the opportunities much more than what the privileged people have. As a result, in my own journey, I had to encounter a lot of difficulties. I had to swim against the current. Even now, I consider that I'm not in agreement with the majority or the mainstream. So I struggle and I haven't given up what I considered is right.
So you served in the CRPF and the Special Task Force during the conflict situations and operations against insurgent groups. Looking back, how do you balance the use of force by the state with the need to protect human rights, especially when such operations risk alienating local communities?
This is one of the biggest challenges. I was on the other side of the crowd before joining police. And when I was here, I had a different perception of handling police. It is not merely the law. You need to understand why the people are doing what they are doing. And my role is only to the extent of enforcing law in a judicious manner and to use force proportionate to the threat that they have caused, not to overuse or to be trigger happy.
So you have trained and led thousands of police personnel, yeah, and helped establish major training institutions. Yet across India, problems like deaths in custody, political interference, and lack of accountability still exist. Why has police reform been so slow in India? Do you think real reform is possible within the system, especially when some senior officers who speak up often lacking protection?
Very correct. I fully agree with what you have stated. The people, especially the common men, lesser privileged, the poor, the rural people, illiterate people, do not get justice. And justice is available only to the privileged section to a very great extent. And it is essential that the police is insulated from the politics and from the influence of money and pressure. Our selection of police officers doesn't answer these challenging questions. They are neither independent nor they are equipped and oriented to handle the complex challenges. Their understanding of society, their being a part and parcel of the process of development is not present in the police organization. The police and the politicians have, to a very great extent, joined hands in spoiling the, in administering justice. You know, you scratch my back and I will scratch your back is the philosophy with which most of the police institutions in India today work. When the political boss is the one who appoints you, one who posts you, one who promotes you, you know, you can't be, you can't insulate yourself from such desires. And money is another very, very great challenge which people cannot resist. And our police force is suffering very badly from these two influences.
The Indian police force often reflect the same social inequalities and seen in society. Why I'm asking that? They also belong to some caste. They also belong to some class or gender. Do you think this is changing for the better in India, or is it deep-rooted, so it is a reform is quite difficult in India?
In India, all of us belong to a particular caste. We speak a language. We belong to a region. But when I am administering justice, only the law and the situation should be in front of me, not from where I come from and what are my moorings.
So just I want to ask you about your name. You are known as Mr. K. Arkesh. I think there is a story behind that K. Would you tell us the story behind your initial?
In the part of the country where I come from, father's name and village name are taken as initials. They are not expanded. My father happened to be a Gowda. His name included Kade Gowda. Gowda is an indication of caste. I always called myself K. Arkesh, but in the passport, I need to expand what this K stands for. And, you know, I couldn't have changed my father's name. I definitely do not want myself to be identified by a particular caste. And I need to develop an universal attitude, and I need to be free from such clutches which would influence my decisions and outlook.
It's an amazing story to hear. Thank you. When I read about you, you joined politics. Why you joined politics after a long career, a successful career in police force?
Police is a caged and confined arena. I thought politics would give me better opportunities than in police. You know, during my service in police for 37 years, I did what I considered is the best for myself and for my society. And I have absolute satisfaction in that. I have done what I considered is valuable, what the people, the needy masses required. But there were many things which I could not do being in this confined atmosphere, being confined by the law, the society, the seniors, juniors, and the political bosses. I thought politics is a wider arena wherein I can use my service in the remaining part of my life. But unfortunately, people chose not to elect me because I chose a party which was not very popular. And I couldn't have gone with the majority party because I was not in conformity with those party philosophy or the practices. I could not have made a party of my own. It was not very easy in India. So the best thing I thought was to join a new political party, which was speaking of, which was very close to my own aspirations. And I wanted to provide an opportunity for the voter that you always say that every party is bad and every candidate is bad and money plays an important role. People use caste, religion, region and all the narrower aspects and they are not efficient. I had the proven ability of, you know, in different aspects. So I thought here is an opportunity. I have been honest. I have been efficient. I have the desire to serve you. And I announced in my speeches that if I acquire a penny more than what the property that I have declared right now is, that property belongs to you, not to me. And I have not joined politics either to get a name or money or popularity. I'm here to serve you. If you think that my services are required for you, if you are looking for a person like me, you are free to vote for me. If you think that someone else is better, that's your choice. And in democracy, you have the right. And I have provided you an alternative.
So what was your initial feeling when you lost the election? Why the people keep on electing people who are not serving them, though they complained, as you said?
People, as was told, people get the leaders that they deserve. If the people are not honest, if the people vote for money, if the people want the leader to commit unjust acts, how can they elect someone who is honest, upright, and capable?
So looking back at your personal and professional journey, what moments give you the greatest sense of satisfaction or purpose in life?
Of serving the needy. You know, the administration, which has power, money, and the objective to serve the people in a democracy. You know, our constitution is one of the best constitutions to spread democracy in a country which was absolutely unequal and, you know, inequality in terms of not only the property, economic inequality, but inequality is perpetuated in all walks of life. Caste is one of the fundamental determinant factor which has decided the lives of people. Some people by birth were condemned to do a particular menial profession, and some people have the privilege of enjoying certain benefits, social, educational and representation in service and even economic positions. And so when I was to administer constitution, the fundamental law, objective, you know, basically, whenever I thought that I have given relief to the needy, that was the most satisfying moment. I handled terrorists, I handled insurgents, communal violence, and in all such situations, when I gave justice to the masses, that was the most satisfying moment. I risked my life several times, narrowly escaped death, but I have no regrets. I retired with a sense of satisfaction.
Retrospectively, if you reflect nabbing of Veerappan, would you do something different now?
No. Veerappan was a great menace to human beings, let alone the law enforcement agencies. He had killed more than 120 people, and that too in a very crude, rude manner. He didn't have human qualities. He was an animal in human form. He always tried to justify whatever he did. That was all flimsy. He was a criminal. He was to be handled as such.
You hold a master's degree in anthropology and have written on social issues. Has that background made you more sensitive to human sufferings and complexity in life? In your view, does empathy have a place in law enforcement, or does the system discourage people having empathy?
Empathy is necessary, but not to violate the existing laws. Police is a part of the executive. They do not make law themselves. They are to execute laws. But while executing law, you have a lot of liberty. My understanding as a student of anthropology, especially the tribal people, most of my service was in the backward areas of northeastern India, the turbulent Kashmir and Naxalite area. There I found the subjects that I studied, the tribes, were the ones against whom I was to operate. Most of the insurgents and Naxalites came from the tribal area. If you superimpose the tribal map of India with that of the map of insurgents and Naxalites, it strangely coincides. There was something definitely wrong as to why such violent incidents should take place in such areas only, where the people are isolated, they are still not a part of the development, their level of education, representation in service, and even political representation is not adequate to the number, and they are not answering the problems that these people are facing. So, while working in such situations, understanding of the society was very essential, and I never ever indulged in overreaction in the tribal areas in the name of counter-insurgency or counter-Naxalite activities. I tried to win over the people, and I found great success, especially in intelligence gathering. They started giving me information which they were not giving to others, and they found in me one among themselves, and they were not for violence, they were for peace and progress, and I provided an opportunity to the extent of my own powers.
No one accepts violence, be it Naxalites or insurgents, but they have a cause of the common man, the poor people or disadvantaged communities. Do you agree they got a cause, but the way they fight or the way the means take up arms is wrong?
A person has taken arms, you have to handle him with another arm. And if you go and teach, you know, the Naxalism or insurgency is the product of the socioeconomic and political decisions or the wrongs that were done to them, you know, at that stage, I'm not supposed to be handling that. My objective is only that the other man has an arm which he can use to kill others and including me. So I have to handle him with another arm. But the cause for which he is fighting, the situation which led him to such a level, is very pertinent. If someone has a temperature, he takes a paracetamol. But paracetamol is not the answer. It may be pneumonia, it can be a viral fever. Just to reduce the temperature, to address the basic symptoms, you put a cold putty on his forehead. But that's not the answer. You have to go to the cause of the temperature and address it. The same way, we need to understand why certain groups have taken arms in their hands. Whereas the role of police is not that. The role of police is he has an arm and he has to be handled as such.
Thank you so much, Mr. K. Akesh. It is a fantastic interview. You are very open, transparent, and expressed your views very clearly. Thank you so much for visiting SBS. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My salutes to Australian democracy, Australian people who have made human civilization a very enjoyable one. Thank you.
இது போன்ற மேலும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்க வேண்டுமா? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify என்று podcast கிடைக்கும் பல வழிகளில் நீங்கள் நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்கலாம்.